Father, we love you this morning because you first loved us. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the Spirit of God here to guide us through life. We give you glory and honor. And as always, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Welcome, everybody. One of the songs we played this morning had to do with, you know, being fruitful. He said, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. That's a lesson today. And going back to the beginning, Genesis, you saw that, we'll see that God actually pronounced five different things. What he pronounced was both a blessing and also a charge. So let's take a look at it. Genesis chapter 1, we read from verses 26 through 28. And the Lord God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. See, this was what was in his mind. Over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over all cattle, over all the earth even, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Praise the Lord. That was already in his mind. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, and the them included Eve that was still inside of Adam. And he said unto them, be fruitful, that's number one, and multiply, that's number two, and replenish the earth, that's number three, and subdue it, that's number four, and have dominion, that's number five, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Praise the Lord. So let's talk about God's requirement for fruitfulness. And because this is one of the things, the very first things he charged them with. The very first words out of God's mouth to the man was, be fruitful. That was the very first thing. And even though it says it was a blessing here, we see it also as a charge. You know, so the blessing is God put a blessing inside them, just like he put a blessing inside everything else. He said, look, I have given you every green herb for seed and everything. And he put, you know, inside the seed, he put, the power to reproduce itself, you know, put all these things out there. And he did so, and it was all good. And he said to the man, be fruitful. Let's talk about that for a bit. You know, one subtitle to this lesson would be that God requires fruitfulness. Now, the fruitfulness that he blessed them with was a pronunciation. If you think of it also as a charge, it actually comes before, even though dominion was always in his mind. You know, we saw that before the man was formed, God already thinking about him to have dominion. But part of the process of getting there was, you know, he needed to be fruitful, he needed to multiply, he needed to, you know, replenish the earth, he needed to, have dominion and subdue the earth and all that. So, now, talking about God requiring fruitfulness. Let's read a few scriptures and we'll talk about what it means to us in our day. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. We read the following. It says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain cometh often upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So what is this verse talking about? Well, it's saying when it rains, the rain falls on, you know, all kinds of vegetation. You know, it falls everywhere. On trees, on grass, even on the weeds. Same rain. You know, but the way that God looks at it is, put the rain on the thing, and then he looks at what the thing produces. The one that produces something that is good, that he likes, you know, you say, well, you receive the blessing from God. So, if the wild trees and even domestic plants and everything like that, when they receive rain, if they bring forth the right thing, you know, produce herbs that can be eaten, fruits that can be enjoyed by the, you know, person that's laboring over that vineyard or whatever, well, it says he receives blessing from God. But if he doesn't produce the right thing, now he already had the resources to produce, but he didn't produce the right thing, then we see that he says, well, if it brings forth thorns and briars and other things which is, you know, unwholesome and unsavory, well, he said it is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Wow. Let's talk about this other story in the book of Mark chapter 11. You know, along with this lesson, we see this story, and Jesus would also orchestrate this story so that it could be told. And we're going to tell it today again. And on the morrow, he said, now, this is Mark 11, verse 12. This is how Mark is reporting this incident. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. That's Christ. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply, that means if perhaps, he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, okay, let's look at this story. This is how the story starts out. Jesus was hungry, looking around, he saw a fig tree, it had leaves, so it had the appearance. See? The leaves. Now, if this tree had been dried up, looked withered away, you know, kind of how trees are here in the fall and even in the winter, all their leaves begin to fall and they begin to dry up. And when the winter or fall gets very harsh, you know, those trees, they, you know, everything falls off. And if that is the way that this tree had looked, I don't think Jesus would have come to it, because he could have seen that the thing was barren or bare, you know, no leaves, no fruit, nothing, just bare looking. He wouldn't even bother. However, the tree had the appearance that it had something going on. So it was the appearance, because it had leaves, you know, you couldn't tell from afar off, you know, whether there might be some fruit inside those leaves, because, you know, everything looked green and everything from afar off. So Jesus comes a little closer and checks it out. And when he checked it out, he saw that it was just leaves. There really wasn't any fruit there. But there was an undernote in this lesson that said, well, it wasn't time for figs yet. That's why, you know, first they had to produce leaves and everything that would make, you know, shelter for the figs when they come. But it wasn't quite time for the figs. But Jesus, I mean, came there looking for the figs. It wasn't time, but he was looking anyway. And let's see what happened next. Now, Jesus answered and said unto the tree, which means the tree's posture was speaking to Jesus. So Jesus had to answer back, right? The tree was speaking to Jesus that I've got nothing to offer you. And so Jesus looked at it and said, well, you've got all these other things going on as though you are actually meeting the one purpose that I'm looking for, but because you're not doing that, you've got other things going on. I mean, the tree obviously was providing shade, maybe providing shelter for some birds and different things. But at this particular point in time, there was one thing that the master was looking for, and he didn't find it. And despite the other things that the tree was doing, because it wasn't doing the one thing that the master was looking for, he cursed it. And he said, well, because I came to you looking for fruit, and I found none, and yet you had the appearance or the deception that you had something going on. So, well, therefore, nobody will eat of you again. Your fruitfulness and the, you know, your purpose in being fruitful is over because you didn't do what you should do. I mean, in one lesson, Jesus said, what use is salt when it has lost its savor? He said it's of no good except to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. Well, what use is the tree that Jesus came to looking for fruit that wasn't producing? Well, it was no good. So Jesus said, you're done. That's it. I mean, you are done. And so that was the story. Now, the key elements to bear in mind in this story was that this tree from afar off looked like he had something going on, something good, you know, so Jesus came closer. Now, it would have been better, see, the trees that wither away during fall and winter, eventually when the seasons change, they revive again and they can still produce. They're not cursed because, you know, they still have opportunity. But this one, because at the time that the master came, it wasn't producing, even though you might argue, well, it's not yet time for figs and this and this. So as Jesus was concerned, it got to be in season all the time. If you give an excuse that you are not, we're not in season, then God might withdraw something, your ability to actually do something. So, this in the book of Revelation chapter 3, we see right out of that chapter what the Lord said to this church that was in Sardis. He said, unto the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, but you are dead. Now this tree had the appearance that it was something going on, but didn't have anything going on that the master was interested in. You know, so Jesus withdrew from it the opportunity for it to be fruitful ever again. He said, nobody going to eat of you again. That's it. And presently, the thing began to, dried up. It dried up right at the fruit. You know, the appearance of his drying up, of course, wasn't seen until the next day. But later on, they saw it. Now, there may be some people who are not producing that may already be dried up. And it looks like they're still going on, but they're already dried up. Now, maybe later on we'll find out that they are dried up. You know, but just like the disciples, the tree didn't dry up in their presence right away. It died from the root, but it took time for it to appear dead above the ground. And so when they came around the next day, they say, oh my goodness, the tree you cursed yesterday has withered away. Well, that's another part of the lesson that Jesus taught. But let's focus on the fruitfulness part. The purpose and purposes of God in our lives. Well, let's call that his demand for fruitfulness. Also, he put a blessing in us to be fruitful. He put a blessing in us to do the thing that he wants. He put a capacity inside of us. We'll be able to do that. But if we don't, then that can create a problem. Jesus, when he was teaching in the lesson of what we call now the Sermon on the Mount and so on, you know, he said many things, one of which is, ye are the salt of the earth. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. Salt has many functions. It can be used as a cleanser. It can be used as a preservative. It can be used as a seasoner and so on. So, you know, we're talking about the seasoning part of it here. He said, well, if the salt has lost its ability to season or savor, you put a little salt in something, you spice it up. If the salt is no longer able to do that, not that the salt has become flat, then Jesus said, well, what good is it then? He said, it is good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. He also furthermore said that ye are the light of the world. A city that set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, do you light a candle and put it under the bed? The answer is no. When we light a candle, we put it on a candlestick so that it gives light to everybody in the house. Even in modern, with electricity and lights and so forth, they usually put the lights above the ceiling. Give me a minute here, I got to drink some water. So, even the lights that we have in the house, they're on top so they can give light. And the lessons here is, if the thing is not producing what the master is looking for, then it's of no good. It is of no good. Because when the rain fell on the vegetation, one side brought forth good fruit, which the dresser was looking for, and I got a blessing, we're told. The other side, which did not bring forth the kind of fruit that the dresser was looking for, we're told he was cursed, and his hand is to the burning. So, God requires fruitfulness. Praise the Lord. What we are trying to convey is that whereas God put a blessing and a benediction at the beginning upon the man, telling them to be fruitful and multiply, it was not only a blessing, but it was also actually a charge as well. And we have to do that. We got to be fruitful and we've got to multiply. We're going to talk about that first, then we'll talk about the dominion next. Let's look at some other examples here in the scriptures of similar things where the Lord is looking for something and not finding it, and the expectation was not met. There's a story in Matthew chapter 21. Jesus said in verse 33, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder that planted a vineyard, and he hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took the servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other more servants than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, well, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Now, when the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen?" Yeah, that was a question Jesus threw out. He said, well, the people answered him. He said, he will miserably destroy those wicked men. And will let out his vineyard and unto other husbandmen that will render him the fruits in their seasons. Although Jesus was talking about himself, relation with Israel and, you know, Gentile Jews and all that, you know, there's still a lesson here to be learned that, look, when God is looking for something and we're not producing, you know, there's a danger of losing it all, and even the opportunity to do something, you know, and produce even more after that. You know, the chance to bring forth and produce the fruit that God is looking for has been given to us now. And if you're not doing it now, well, you may actually lose the opportunity. I mean, there are many stories that we read in the Bible about the parable of the pounds or the talent or this and that. And one of the lessons that we learn from those parables, there are many of them, or several, I should say, in these scriptures, you know, it was the same thing. Before I get to that parable of the pounds, let me read to you another parable. In Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9, Jesus spoke this other parable to them. Said, a certain man had a fig tree that he planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, but found none. So it's almost like the case of this same fig tree. Now, this case was a parable. In the case of the fig tree, Mark 11 was an actual occurrence. Then he said to the dresser of this vineyard, behold, these 3 years, yeah, that's like Jesus, he came looking for, trying to get Israel to comply. Say, I'm sent first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, so he came. He said, well, I came seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why should it continue to cumber the ground? You know. And he answered the Lord and said, Lord, hold on now. Let it alone for this year also. And shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. If not, then at that time he cut it down. And said, so, you know, well, there was some pleading. The Holy Spirit pleading. Hold on now. You know, they'll get a chance. This is indicative of our lives. We know there is more to this story than just that. But in the context of this lesson, the master is looking for fruit. And if we are not producing, that can be a serious problem. Luke chapter 20. There's another story, you know, there that talks about, you know, this same lesson. That's in so many different places. The same kind of lesson over and over again. A certain man, Luke 20 and verse 9, planted a vineyard and let it out to husbandmen, went to a far country for a long time. And at the season, that's the season of fruit, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and so on and so forth. Same story like we saw in Matthew, you know. And these stories were told in the scriptures over and over again to bring out the point that if we don't, this problem. In the book of Matthew chapter 25 and also Luke 19, we see the parable of what we call the talents or the pounds or whatever. In Matthew 25, from verses 14 through about 30, long story, we read about the parable of, you know, the talents. This man that called his servants, he was going on a journey, called his servant, delivered them his goods, gave one 5 talents, gave the other 2, gave another one 1, and they went. He went his way, and they went their way. The one that had received 5, he went and did something with it, traded with it, he got 5 more. Yeah, of course, the Lord knew that, you know, he said he gave to every one of them according to their several ability and straight away took his journey. So he already knew what they could do. The one that was given 5, the Lord knew he could handle it. The one that was given 2, he knew he could handle 2. The one that was given 1, he also knew he could handle it. And he could make good use and produce. Now, the first 2 actually did. The 5 went out, did a lot of stuff, gained 5 more. Okay. The second that had 2 went out, did a lot of stuff, gained 2 more. Okay. The one that had 1 did nothing of the sort. In fact, he went out, buried his talent. You know, that's where this, in contemporary world, we talk about, don't bury your talent. You know, that's where this thing came from. So when I buried his talent, did nothing. So when the master came on the day of reckoning and said, okay, you know, give account of your stewardship. Well, the first one said, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 pounds. Look, I gained 5 more. He said, wow, good job. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord because you've been a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little, you get more. Hallelujah. Put him on one side. Got a good reward. The second one stepped and said, well, I also, you gave me 2. And I went out, traded, and I got 2 more. The Lord said exactly the same thing that he said to the first one. Because they both produced 100%. The one that got 5 more did not do any more than the one that got 2 more. Because he had more to start with. And he only produced 100%. This one only had 2 and he also produced 100%. So both of them did exactly the same thing. You know, so sometimes when we look at people that have the ability to do more and you compare and say, well, you know, he's doing more than the other person. You don't know that he's doing more. He might actually be doing less. If the guy that had 5 talents had gone out and produced 4, take note. So now he had 9 instead of 10. And the one that had 2 had gone out and produced 2 and now had 4 instead of 2. The one that had 2 to start with would have done more than the one that produced 4 because he started out with 5. He only got 80% and not 100%. So we need to be careful. We judge after a man's judgment. God judges a different way. You have 5. You have the ability to produce with 5. He gave you 5. If you do a good job and you do it well, you know, it's the same thing as the one that had 2. They do it well. It's the same thing. There's no difference. Same exact commendation. Good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know, you've been faithful in little, you get more. And then the other one came, you know, and made all kinds of excuses, you know, why he didn't do anything. I know that you're mean, you're this, you're that, you know. How come I only get 1 when the others had 2 and 5 and so on? Well, I didn't do anything. And here it is. And of course, guess what? Took it from him. So I come up with this phrase, use it or lose it. And produce or it shall be taken from you. You know, salt that's not producing savor anymore is cast out. So God requires faithfulness. Same story in a different way is told in Luke chapter 19, verses 12 to 26. In that case, called pounds and so on. Same story. Okay, so let's leave that there. Let's talk about another lesson that Jesus put out. This time, John wrote his own in a different way. In John chapter 15, this one is very profound. We're going to talk about it. God requires fruitfulness is the first subtopic of this lesson before I go to the dominion part. Now, in John chapter 15, Jesus started to speak, and this is directly Jesus speaking himself. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, that beareth not fruit. So he started out even the ones that are not producing, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it so that I may bring forth more fruit. So you can see that God actually requires this fruitfulness. Now notice, it was every branch in me. It wasn't just every branch somewhere. So these branches were in him already, but they were not producing. So that's the key lesson today. You know, someone say, well, you know, these people are not the Lord and so forth. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, you know, that these branches were already in me, yet they were not producing. What was it they were supposed to produce? Well, that's what we got to find out. But they were not producing. And Jesus, furthermore, he said, look, abide in me and I in you. The branch, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. He's talking about being fruitful here the whole time. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So this lesson is about fruit. The same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Well, if a man abide not in me, now this is somebody who was already in him but did not remain. That's what abide means. Was already there, but did not remain in the principles of the kingdom. You know, then Jesus said, well, he is cast forth, you know, as a branch, glory to God, that is withered, is cast forth. And when he is cast forth like that, what happens? serious thing happens. He is withered, men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, there may be a lot of, you know, fiery stuff that, you know, people may be experiencing. Well, maybe they need to check their lives and see whether it is because they were not abiding in the vine and they got withered away and now they've lost that protection that comes from being attached to the vine and now they're going through a lot of stuff. That's possible. Now, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, there is also a benefit from that. You know, besides bringing forth fruit that the master is looking for, there are other benefits. You now can also get whatsoever you want because you are doing the master's will. You say, look, well, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, then you shall ask whatever you will. Now, a man that whose words are abiding in that person, he's not going to ask something contrary to God's word because he already knows God's word. In me, my words are in you. You know my words. You know my will. You know the thing that pleases God. You're going to ask in the domain of all the will of God. You can ask anything and it shall be done. Well, you got to abide. You got to remain. You got to also be producing fruit. Now listen to this furthermore. He said, look, if a man abide not in me, how many times is he going to say this? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, they gather them and burn in the fire. Now, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. This is what glorifies the Father. You bear much fruit, not just even a little fruit, much fruit. So shall you be my disciple. Jesus is saying, look, you know, there is a badge, you know, of discipleship that he's looking for. And that badge, you know, It comes from carrying not only the name of Christ, but also doing his will and producing fruit, much fruit. So yeah, that's what I'm looking for in my disciples. Now, on and on and on, he spoke about these things. Let's consider it. You say, well, what is the fruit then? Well, it is everything that God, the will of God. One man came to Jesus and said, what is it that I might do that I might do the works of God? Jesus said, well, this is the work of God that you believe in him whom he has sent. In another place, he will say this way. In another place, say, the works that God is looking for is everything that God has commanded us. Be fruitful. Now, fruitfulness can be in bearing the fruit of the Spirit, as Galatians chapter 5 talks about. He compares the fruit of the works of the flesh on one side, and then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit on the other side. And we did some lessons on the fruit of the Spirit several months ago. Several lessons covered the fruit of the Spirit. Now, God expects us to bear that fruit. There are other fruits of righteousness that he expects us to bear. They're the fruit of becoming like him. This is what he's looking for, right? In the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus Luke captured it in this way, describing discipleship. Now, John captured it in his own way here, saying, well, you know, when you bring forth much fruit, you'll be my disciple. Well, let's see how Luke captured it. Luke captured it in Luke 6 and 40 by saying it this way. No disciple can be above his master. He's talking about discipleship here. But every disciple that is perfect shall be as his master. So, in this verse of Luke 6, 40, Jesus defines discipleship as the process of becoming like the master. And how to become perfect is you go through that discipleship, and at the end, the target, the end state is to be like the master. So you can also see that discipleship that brings forth the nature of Christ in us is actually being fruitful. If we don't become fruitful, we don't become like Christ. You know, you've been saved, but you're still struggling with doing your own ways. The Holy Spirit convicts you, but you don't do it. You hear it and you do your own way. You're just being obstinate and so forth. We're not being fruitful. Fruitfulness is discipleship. You combine John chapter 15 and Luke 6:40 together. Jesus said, when you bring forth fruit, that's when you'll be my disciple. Well, in this place, Jesus said, to be my disciple is to become like me. This process of discipleship, when you are perfect, you become like the master. You can't be better than the master, but when you go through that process, you become like the master. So one of the fruit, the main fruit that God was looking for, which from the beginning, he also said, let them be in our image, after our likeness. So the number one thing that he's actually looking for is the image and likeness of the Christ in us. That's number one. That leads to all these other fruitfulness that people might think. Some people will say fruitfulness means you're winning souls for Christ. Yes. Some people will say fruitfulness means you are demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. Yes. Everything is all wrapped up together. But in this one thing, it is for us to become like the Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, the Holy Spirit has, you know, the way that he deals with all, he has the capacity to deal with millions and trillions of people at the same time. And guide each of us, you know, just like, you know, I'm just imagining all the number of people in the world that claim that they have the Holy Spirit, you know. So Holy Spirit is there, you know, to guide us. The way he guides you may be different than the way he guides me. However, he will never go contrary to the word of God. But the one thing that is important, the work of the Holy Spirit is to produce the image and likeness of Christ in us. That's the fruitfulness. That's number one, fruitfulness. You know, and present to himself a church without spot, without wrinkle, according to Ephesians chapter 5. You know, no wrinkle, no blemish, no spot, none of those such things, you know, so that he can produce a glorious church. You know, he said that he might sanctify and cleanse the church by the washing of water, Ephesians 5 and verse 26, washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, having neither spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the number one fruit, because that's the process of becoming like the Master, which Luke 6:40 tells us is defined as perfection. Perfection is when you become like the Master. Every servant, every disciple that is perfect shall be like his Master. And how do you get there? It's through discipleship. Okay, so we have established that. We've established the fruitfulness. What kind of fruit is what we're talking about here that God is looking for? Is it what we think, or is it what he's looking for? See, that's the thing. You know, the church in Sardis, they were busy being whatever they were busy doing. Their posture was, you know, carrying on some kind of fake appearance, impressing people, having a name that they are living, but they're actually dead. You know, I mean, so this whole thing, like, oh, big brother, big sister, apostle, uncle, all of these things, those are just names, you know, that make us look like we are something, pastor, this and that. And if you are really nothing, you're not producing what God wants. It's the same story. Thou hast a name, thou livest, but you are dead. It's the same thing. Now, on the other hand, though, when we are producing what God wants, Jesus said, my Father will nourish it. He will prune it, take away all the excesses, so that it can become even more fruitful. Now, when the Lord identifies a branch that is trying to be fruitful or being fruitful, then he will make it even more fruitful. There's some pruning that he will do. Now, some of us, you know, we start out with a lot of excesses in our lives, all kinds of things. Well, the Lord is patient. Holy Spirit, he is. He will do his pruning. He will do more pruning. And yet even more pruning. And he can use any number of ways to accomplish this pruning, to the intent that he may bring forth something that looks like the Christ. That's what Jesus is looking for. On the other hand, let's talk about some other fruits that we can be producing. We can also be producing, you know, of course, you know, in all the nature and image of Christ, we're producing that character, that image, that likeness must be produced in us. And that was God's intent in the beginning, to reproduce himself in man. Let us make man after our image and after our likeness. So God would reproduce himself in the man. And we wanted to create a brand called, you know, instead of mankind, it would have been called Godkind. And that's what he was trying to create. Not mankind, but Godkind. So they look like God. They have his likeness. They look like him. They talk like him. They think like him. They act like him. They reason like him. That's God. They're God in our likeness. So I call them Godkind. Now, started out with Godkind for sure. But after the fall, he drastically dropped down to mankind, you know, and unfortunately, Adam could not bring forth sons in God's image. Started bringing forth sons in his own image. And that time his own image was corrupted. So Godkind leads to the fruitfulness that God is looking for. That's number one. Number two, the things that we do for God, how do we know that they are actually the things that God wants us to be doing? And it's like this tree, producing shade and all these other things. But the one thing the master was looking for, he wasn't found in that tree. And so the master said, fine, you're done. Because you were not doing the one thing that I care about. Other things you were doing, but that's not what he was looking for. And we must not be in our walking with God. We cannot be seasonal. No such thing with God. This tree was out of the season yet. I mean, which was, it's not his fault. I mean, it wasn't yet the season for figs, we're told. But as far as Christ is concerned, it's no such thing about season. He can come to you in the third watch, morning watch, fifth watch, fourth watch, or any time, in any season. That's why I say, blessed is the man that is walking with God, not in the counsel of the ungodly, not sitting in the seat of the scornful, not taking advice from sinners and all that. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his word that he meditate there. Now he shall be like a tree. That's someone that's planted by rivers of living water. Bring forth his food in his season. And, you know, his tree, leaves shall never wither. He never goes out of season. That means never wither. It's always in season. Always in season. That's what Christ is looking for. You can't say, well, I did something yesterday, so today I'm out of season. No. Always in season. Because the day you're out of season, maybe the day that Christ may come and say, where is your fruit today? And if you don't have any fruit, then we can be in serious problem. So we can never relax and be out of season. Well, say, who then can do this? You know, it's beyond my strength. Yeah, Jesus said, well, yeah, with men, it is impossible. But now with God, all things are possible. So we rely on the strength of the Holy Spirit to help us to remain in season in order for us to keep on producing. Now let's talk about some other fruit, cascading discipleship. We become disciples of Christ, and we need to make disciples of others. That's also fruit. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of them. Teach them these things and make disciples. Paul said to Timothy, the things that are committed unto you, make sure you commit it also to faithful men who also will commit to others. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 and said, Father, I pray not only for these, but those who also later on will hear about me through them. So, cascading this discipleship. That's also fruitfulness. You come to Christ and you go after others as well. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Now you got to go out and find some other people too and bring them in. Now Jesus said, go out to the highways, byways, everywhere that my house may be filled. And so that's also fruitfulness. Bringing in souls to the kingdom. How do we do it? Well, there are lessons to be taught on witnessing, soul winning, and discipleship. They all go together. We talk about Christ to people. That's something. But the art of closing the deal, that's another thing yet. And you close the deal. Convince, persuade them. There are some people who are able to mightily persuade people. Apollos was a man, we're told, that was mighty in the scriptures, and he mightily convinced the Jews. Paul was a man that was mighty in the scriptures, and he knew how to, persuade people to, give their lives to Christ, and become a believer. There's a story that Paul was in front of this so-called King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. And Paul was telling the man so many things. The man said in verse 28 of Paul, Acts 26, he said to Paul, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Well, Paul said, well, okay. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. I wish that you were all together like me, but not with these bonds. You know, I know Paul was in chains and so forth that time. So, but, you know, I wish you were like me, but not like in the bonds and stuff. You know, he had the ability. I mean, somebody that didn't even, you know, wasn't even thinking in that direction. Paul was almost able to persuade this king. Say, look, you're almost persuading me to become a believer. Huh? Paul said, well, that's what I'd like to do. You know, so that's again bringing forth fruit. You know, he that winneth souls is wise. And they that turn many to righteousness shall shine in the kingdom of the Lord as the brightness of the stars forever. The soul winning, you know, is an important example of bringing forth fruit. You know, and in families, we bring forth fruit as well. We are commanded to raise godly children. This is also bringing forth fruit. You know, we're not just to bring children into the world and let them be anyhow. No. But to instruct our children in the way of righteousness, sitting daily, instructing them. While you sit at the meat, you say instruct them, bind it as frontless before your eyes. Whatever. You know, you are always telling it to your children and instructing them, bringing up your children in the way of the Lord after you and their own children after them as well. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay these words, my words, in your heart and in your soul. You bind them for a sign upon your hand and like frontlets between your eyes. That's like glasses. It's always there, right there. You see through them. You know, you should teach them to your children. Speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Every time you speak to your children about these words of life, write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Well, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children, etc., etc. You know, so to teach it, that's also being fruitful. Now, if you think of it also as a benediction, along with being a charge. Remember I said it's two things. It's a blessing. He blessed them, but it's also a charge. We've talked about it being a charge. What about it being blessing? Blessing means you will not be unfruitful. You know, you will have fruitfulness, you know, in the things of nature. You will be our children. You will have fruitfulness in the things of this spirit. You will have spiritual children. You know, you yourself will be fruitful because your life will improve. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord tells us that in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, he says that according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That's what God wants us to be. Become like him. Escape the corruption that's in the world and become like him. And besides all this, listen to this. You start out with faith, but do your diligence to add to your faith. You build on top of it. What do you add to it? Well, you add to faith virtue. What do you add to virtue? You add knowledge. These things are key. You add to knowledge temperance. You add to temperance patience. You add to patience godliness. You add to godliness brotherly kindness. You add to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you, this is fruitfulness, and they abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. So these things, you know, what ensures that you are not barren? You are not unfruitful. That means if you do these things, you are fruitful. Now, not barren, you're not unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, well, he's blind, cannot see afar off. forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, and he's barren and he's unfruitful. So, these things that are described here is spiritual growth. Say, add to this. You start to this, add to that. You start to this, add to that. So we can also define fruitfulness as spiritual growth. God doesn't want stunted growth believers. You know, you've been in the Lord for 3 months, 3 years, or 10 years, or however long, and it's still the same thing. You know, well, you're not adding to your faith. You need to add to your faith. You got to add more. Always building. Never take away, but add. You know, the only thing that God is taking away are the excesses that don't belong. Sometimes we drag in excesses and God cut those off in his pruning. But spiritual maturity, the spiritual growth, which is a form of bearing fruit, demands that we take what we have to the next level. Don't lose it. The Lord gave me a parable one time, and I've told it a few times on this platform. The parable of the kingdom. I enjoy those parables, so it tells me. He said, well, it's like unto, you know, this thing. You have to climb this flight of stairs, right? And at each landing, in my house, I have a flight of stairs from one floor to another. And there's a little landing in between. You go up this way, there's a landing, and you go up that way. And when you get to each landing, there's something you can pick up. It's like a jewel. Well, you know, you put that jewel in your crown. A diadem is a crown that has many jewels. A royal diadem in his hand. And then when you think that you are done, you think you have arrived, then you look up and you see that, oh, I have not yet arrived. There's more things that I have to climb. So you are instructed. Say, the kingdom of God is like this. And he began to show it to me. And then you are instructed that you got to climb the next set of, next flight of stairs. And you don't see the top of the thing. All you see is the next flight of stairs you got to climb. And so while you are climbing, you drop something. One of the jewels you already picked up, you got to go back and get it. Praise the Lord. That's why sometimes some of us go through some things more than once, because we haven't learned the lesson that he wants us to learn. You go through it, you drop it, you drop the ball, so to speak, and you got to go back and do it again, you know, until you figure it out. You know, but once you figure it out, you hold on to it. You don't lose it. You don't throw it away now to get something else. You hold on to what you already got. We started out with faith. You know, you add to your faith. You don't throw away the basic principles and tenets of the gospel, like love your neighbor as yourself while you are looking for mysteries. You know, that's foolishness. You hold on to what you already got. You add to what you got. Can't lose anything. You add on top of your faith. Add knowledge. All this knowledge of mystery and stuff. You are adding. You're not throwing away what you already got. You add to it. And you go along. And that's, again, fruitfulness. If you lose it, then the Bible says that he that lacketh these things is barren and unfruitful. But if you have an abundance of these things, well, then you are fruitful. So fruitfulness can be in many ways. So that's what God wants us to have. The dominion part, by the grace of God, I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. I'm going to leave this one here because, you know, there's a lot of things here to say on dominion. And if I get on that now, this lesson will run too long. So let me leave the lesson here for today. And we're going to talk about the dominion part tomorrow. In fact, you will see the connection of the fruitfulness, the dominion, and the subduing portion that God gave us. Remember, five different things that he told them at the beginning. Yeah. Let's read it again as we summarize this lesson. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. And this is what God had in mind. What he had in mind was shown in verse 26. You know, let us make man our image. God kind, be like us, talking to the Christ. Remember, Christ was in the express image of the Father. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being, was talking about Christ, the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So Christ, the image of Christ, of God. So when God was saying, let us, he was talking to Christ, because Christ is the one that had his image. Let us make man our image, be like us. And God determined, according to Romans chapter 8, 29, that all the people that he will bring in will be exactly like Christ. You know, the Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Romans 8 and 29. To be conformed to the image of the Christ. So, at the end of this journey, this walking with God journey, the goal, which is the ultimate fruitfulness, is that we will be like the Christ. Not less and not more. We cannot be more. You know, you can't be more. Because Jesus said himself, the disciple cannot be above his master. When you are perfect, you'll be like the master. So, we will not be less. 1 John 4 and 17 says, as he is, so will we be. As he is in this world, so are we. So that's the ultimate fruitfulness, is to be exactly like the Christ. So let's examine our lives. The areas in which you are not being fruitful means you are not being like Christ. You are not forgiving. You don't have the nature of forgiveness like Christ. You know, you don't have the nature of kindness like Christ. And all these things, you know, all the things that Christ was, if we are not becoming like Christ, then we are not on the path of fruitfulness. So, those things that God said to the man when the woman was still embedded inside of him, is what he said. You know, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's three. And subdue it. That's four. And have dominion. That's five. So we've talked about the being fruitful, the multiplying. We didn't really talk about the replenish. Replenish means replace something that was, you know, depleted. So there's a mystery of something that happened. I'm not going to get into that in this lesson, but something happened. Otherwise, he wouldn't use the word replenish. You don't replenish something that it was never there. You replenish something that was there, but drained and depleted, then you replenish it. So there was something there. That's a mystery. However, the one that I want to focus on this lesson, we covered the fruitfulness, multiply and so forth. Multiply also means just like God was reproducing himself in man, we also reproduce the nature of Christ in others that we teach and disciple them. Just like Christ was teaching and discipling us, we teach and disciple others. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm being discipled by Christ and I'm discipling you. You know, so that's the how God cascades this fruitfulness, you know, and this nature of Christ through all the sons of God. That's how he cascades it. First, there is the Christ. Then we are to become like him. And Holy Ghost has this blueprint. Christ is the blueprint. The Holy Ghost is to make us become like that blueprint. That's it. That's what Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says. That Christ might be the firstborn. That's the blueprint among many brethren. So in this journey of walking with God, we will continue to strive to be like Christ. And wherever the Holy Spirit convicts you that you are not acting like Christ, you better check yourself, because if we are not producing, he might just snuff the thing out. Jesus warned and said, repent, except otherwise I'll come and take out your candle. Yeah, take it out. You don't want that. So let's repent. Let's get back on track. And if you're already on track, then don't stop. This is non-stop journey of perfection of or trying to be like Christ. It took Enoch 300 years. He walked with God for 300 years. And every day, getting closer, closer to the light, and shedding the darkness, getting farther away from the darkness. And darkness that came in, that crept upon everybody, you know, that was, you know, the encroaching on their lives, choking out the life of God, and then gradually, you know, but Enoch was going to get away from all of that. He's going to press toward the light. He's going to be transformed. He's going to be changed. He's going to, you know, dealing, walking with God more and more and more and more. One day, he becomes fully light. When you get to that point, ladies and gentlemen, you're gone. You know, you just be infused into God. That's it. That's what happened to Enoch. You know, so, you know, and any one of us who can get to that point too, the same will happen. I know we're all waiting for the rapture. Well, you know, but I guarantee you, you may not know about it, but it is not impossible that there may be others that have experienced what Enoch experienced. This is just the one we know about that was written. Well, what about the ones we don't know? But our goal is to be like that. You must keep pressing on in this journey to become like Christ. That's the ultimate fruitfulness. Then afterwards, we're going to talk about the subduing and the dominion part that comes after that. Praise the Lord. So, ladies, that's our lesson for today. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to leave it there and pray over the room, and I will yield my mic. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you and I give you praise and give you dominion. Give you praise and glory and power. Yes, you indeed have dominion. You have the kingdom. You have dominion. Thine is that kingdom, the power and the glory and everything. But you have also given this dominion to the sons of men. And help us, O Lord, as we discover these lessons. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.